Brad is on the line. Hi, Brad. How you doing?
I am.
Me too.
Why are you laughing?
It's a beautiful summer day. I'm happy when it's beautiful and sunny.
Well, for heaven's sake.
I know. I'm so easily pleased, right? A few flowers, some yellow thing, blue sky. You know, calling you about moving on and from discipleship to mastery, being Jesus part four. Yeah, you're pretty straightforward here, but there's a couple things I wouldn't mind expanding on. I'd like to go a little bit deeper than what you've done in your article. It's kind of a short article for you.
Okay.
That was a dig.
Every now and then, you know.
Yeah, I like what you said about taking credit for gifts and ministry being blasphemy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe we can have a little bit of a conversation on how that's done. How and why it's such a problem. But first of all, I'd like to go a little bit deeper into your conversation with whoever it was that emailed you that particular passage in John 14, I believe, where he says to Philip, "Have you been with me so long? You have seen me, therefore you've seen the Father." You know, just putting that one particular passage in can be a little bit confusing. I mean, you could take that a number of ways. You could basically take it at face value if I just look at that one passage by itself and say, well, Jesus is telling Philip here that he is the Father.
Well, how do you take it?
Well, I take it by expanding what's around it. And he says, I am in the Father and the Father is in me. So he is defining their separate aspects, but acknowledging that they are one in spirit and intent and purpose. So I kind of feel like the guy was leading you a bit in his email by just putting that in there without putting the rest of the conversation.
Well, I think a lot of people do the same thing, and I say, well, that's one perspective, and what he said doesn't make what I say untrue.
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, the whole passage actually supports greatly what you're saying. Because he says, do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works.
Yeah, isn't that clear? I mean, that even in jumbled up King James English, that's... it's clear.
Yeah, and it seems that Jesus is agreeing with you 100%. And that it's got nothing to do with him. So now that, of course, is just a little bit before. 14:7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. And what he's talking about, I get after you read the whole context, is that by seeing Christ perform miracles, you're seeing the Father in action. Would you agree with that?
Well, I wouldn't disagree with it.
Okay, well, maybe you can share a little bit more about what you think about that.
Well, I just take it further than that, in that part where he says, in fact, if you believe, really believe in me, then you know, you'll do the same things you've seen me do. And it's back to the same stuff. We are. Why? Why can't I say such a thing? And why do I answer you when you ask me, you know, how are you? How dare I blaspheme and say, I am? You know? But it isn't me. It's Dad who dwells in me. And I just let Daddy do the talking.
It seems fairly simple once you read the words of Jesus to Philip, doesn't it?
Well, to me it does, Ryan. And some people take it as arrogance. And, of course, that guy, the guy that wrote that, was trying to make a point that, you know, what he'd said in the rest of his email was, you know, that practically that I'm a blasphemer and that... you know, I really don't know what I'm talking about, and that, you know, Jesus is God. And, you know, we can say the same thing, because I think what's interesting is how you took me on, as it were, about that not going far enough with John 3:16, if you recall that phone conversation that I'm making reference to.
Sure I do, yeah.
It was so exciting to me when I didn't know what to say to you other than, well, go ask, because you always get fantastic answers when you finally go inside. You quit arguing with me. You quit arguing. You said, all right, I will. And I thought you were a little combative. Maybe I mistook where you were coming from. But
I always seem a little combative to you because I'm such a rebel and I rebel against any form of authority that you would impose on me with your spiritual mumbo-jumbo.
I would impose authority? Not I. I simply tell you what I got from Daddy and give you and allow you to get whatever you want from Daddy. But what you got was so fantastic. Would you like to expand on that? I didn't feel free to even attempt to say what you said. I just know it blessed my socks off, so to speak. It was the clearest statement I've ever heard on, excuse me, but I'm going to use the term, on the virgin birth of Jesus. It overwhelmed me. It was beautiful.
Well, I don't know that it's germane to your article. I wouldn't mind having dialogue with anybody who's listening to this podcast about it if they would like to know more about what I got. I'll just say one word, and the one word can be taken in a number of different ways, but it'll do one thing for sure, like it did for me, and it basically expanded my viewpoint to what's really going on there. And the word that I got was formed rather than begotten.
Yeah.
And that something that's formed is not the same thing as the process of procreation. It's a little bit different. And that somewhat makes Jesus unique in this world.
I wouldn't say somewhat. I'd say totally. And that's where I come from with this crazy dichotomy that we're in, that when we worship the man, Jesus, as being special, we have missed it. But if we deny that his special coming is special, we've also missed it. But to worship Jesus and call him God is to deny what he said about himself.
It is. It's not necessarily deny. It's focus on one minor aspect of what he did say and holding that as the only truth, rather than looking at all of them and seeing how they create a bigger picture, something more than what you're presented with just the one truth. That one of my favorite stories is the blind, where they lead the blind men out to touch the elephant, and of course each one touches it a different part and comes up with this is a tree, or this is a snake, or this is a root, or a whole bunch of different things. Well, they all have a piece of the truth, and therefore they come to a conclusion based on only one small part. And I think that that's a big mistake that I've made in the past, and many people do make within any organized religion, not just Christianity. Because all religions seem to have sects and divisions and unique truths and so on and so forth. And I don't think that's a valuable way to go about your life. But let's move on to your article here. No bragging rights. You're pretty strong at the beginning where you're suggesting that taking any bragging rights would be blasphemy, which is what that guy accused you of in his email. So why is taking bragging rights or identifying with a particular gift or ministry not a good thing to do or blasphemy? Why do you say that?
Well, I say it, again, that's in the context of what I say is being Jesus. And he didn't brag. Maybe he could have. Maybe he did have bragging rights, but he certainly never used them. The key is, if we... Okay, I'm going to get the bottom line. If we want to move in healing power and in spiritual healing. There's only one way to do that, in my view, and that is that it's by whatever other term or name, God, or by whatever other term or name, Holy Spirit's work. He does it. He does the work. And when I'm moving in the power of that, I recognize that, and I don't do anything. And it's true, I don't. But healing gets done, and I can proclaim it because I allow Him to proclaim it in me. I often tell a story when my psychiatrist friend first really woke up to truth. And we were having a session with a group of his some of his former patients and one woman who had been very beautifully and miraculously healed of brain cancer and had been pronounced dead and so on. Well, they kept bringing people to us, and we were having this session with probably 10 people, and three or four of them were very skeptical, but they'd seen her be healed, which removed a lot of skepticism. But this one woman was dying from lung cancer, and she could hardly breathe. I don't know if it's coming across on the phone or not, but it was just this rattling stuff, you know. And finally, he looks at her and he said, "This is crazy. You're healed." Just like that. And she was, just like that. And he you and I have had this kind of a conversation before, where I can remember one time, not too long ago, where you had spoken those kinds of words, came out of your mouth related to somebody, and you basically told them, "You're healed." And you told me afterwards, "Oh man, I don't know about that. That kind of makes me nervous. I don't do those things. I'm putting words in your mouth." But it was, "Hey, it's not your work. What do you have to worry about? Why do you have to have confidence?" But Jim saw that and he spoke it. And that's the point. It's we do these things and we speak these things because it isn't us. The confidence of Him in me is allowing Him to express Himself through me. And whatever I'm seeing or hearing Him saying, I just speak it. And it's done. And I know it's done, but I don't take any credit for it. I don't even think about it. Oftentimes I will tell somebody, "You're not even going to remember I've been involved in this." And when my ego was even bigger, used to be bigger than it is now, if that's possible, I used to be disappointed because the person would come back and say, "Well, you know, God healed me," without any honorable mention for me. "Wait a minute, I was involved in this," you know. And how silly. You know, isn't it?
It is, but I guess we have to go through that, don't we? We're still human, right?
Oh, you had to remind me of that now, didn't
sorry,
you?
Sorry. Yeah.
But that's his craziness. And that's the same craziness that Jesus was. You know, God being expressed through a human being. But it's the same with us. That is being Jesus, allowing God to express Himself through us. And every time I see somebody get that, then they move on and they jump right over my head. I'm touting my book again, you know, Leapfrog.
Yeah. Okay, well, Brad, that's all the questions I have.
You mean to tell me you called me on probably one of the shortest articles I've written that you posted about Jesus wept? Let's do something on that someday. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible. But but anyway, and you're going to do a podcast. Well, okay. I think I can hardly wait till the next the next article that's already formed in me.
I look forward to that.
Hey, as usual, I enjoy talking with you, and thanks for the call.